Test it. There it is. Good morning, church. Can we be friends? You won't ignore me when I walk in? Awesome, awesome. I love this series we're in. Why can't we be friends? Last week we talked about our very best friend. For me, my very best friend is Harriet, my bride. And so we talked about marriage relationships. Today we're going to talk about dating relationships. And so it's going to be really fun. And so I promise you, if you're single, we're not going to make you raise your hand to find a single friend. Nothing like that today. We'll make it easy on you. It's going to be great. Next week, we're going to talk about friendships. And so we invite you back next week. So to get started, though, I was thinking about like giving some tips, though, up front for single people on how to ask somebody out on a date. And so because, I mean, that's important. You want to know how to ask somebody on a date. So I've put together some lines that would help you be able to ask someone out on a date. And so we're just going to get a little help from the audience. Let's start with David Reeser over here. Dave, hey, man, listen, I need you to do me a favor.
I got you.
Yeah, man, oh, you're going to need your wife. So hold that. Yes, you do.
Pull one out.
Read it. And then, like, you have to own this, like.
I can
like,
own it.
Oh, yeah, so I got you.
Yeah, I stretched.
Hey, babe, you must be made out of water because Jesus has turned you into fine.
Is that right?
Into fine. Yeah, you're supposed to say like Jesus turned you.
You must be made out of water because Jesus has turned you into fine.
There you go.
Is that better?
That's way better, right. Way better. So good. Oh, just hold that. You may need it again. You may need that. Chad, man, how are you, bro? Oh, yeah, listen.
All right,
come
Chad.
On. Oh, there's your microphone. Oh, yeah, you're two in, both of you in this. Pull one out. I hope you get the one I want you to get.
Hey, babe. How about you and I listen to Noah's command and pair up?
Nice, nice. Very good. Not bad. Pair up. Let's get over here. They didn't have enough enthusiasm over there. Man, let's find somebody over here that's going to, like, show off a little bit. Nick Willie will. I like Nick. Oh, I'll get you, James. All right, Nick. Pull one of these out. Here, grab that microphone.
Am I looking at you?
No. Oh. You're not going to look at me.
Look at me.
Yeah, look at her. It's not a repeat, is it?
Yeah, this is a good one. Hey, babe, do you want to be accountability partners?
Save that. James, come here, James, here. You got to get her to stand up and look at you, like, look in her eyes.
How you doing, babe? Do you need prayer? Because I'm willing to lay my hands on you.
Oh! Oh, that's awesome. So I hope those tips helped you. If you need a date, I have a couple more up here. So if you need them, you let me know. Because how you doing isn't going to cut it. You got to have a line. Amen. All right. You want to like do something that actually matters together then? Awesome, awesome. So I want to take us to Scripture, take a Bible verse. I believe in this verse, we're going to find that the Apostle Paul has some wisdom for dating. And so you can read this with me, you can follow along. And I want to teach you that as the Apostle Paul was responding to some religious leaders, and they were asking him about what commandment's the most important, and they were trying to trap him into something as they always did. And this is Jesus' response. And so Jesus replied, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we're going to talk about this verse for a few minutes. Let me give you our sermon title so that I can set this up. Your sermon title today is Finding Your Number 3. So find your 3. Now, that probably makes no sense to you right now, but it's getting ready to. And I'm not saying that, like, it's the third person that's really going to connect with you. I want to show you how to find your three. So back to this verse, let me share with you a few things about this. Let me help you find your three. There are three objects of our love, three places that we place our love. And it talks about love the Lord your God. So God is one. Love your neighbor. So love others. And then love yourself. And so in my illustration today, I want to show you how to find your spouse by looking at this verse. And so on this slide, it'll give you some ideas here. Number one, you need to find your number one. Your number one is God. The Bible teaches us that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And so we want to talk about how you need to learn to find God. Before you find a spouse, before you find anything else, you need to find God. He is your priority. He is everything. And it's through Him you actually learn how to love others. Because He loves us with a perfect love. And in order for us to be able to give a perfect love, we've had to receive a perfect love. And that comes from God. So you need to find your one before you find your two, before you find your three. Your one. Just think about this. God is everything that is perfect about love and relationship. God is faithful. God is forgiving. God is loving. God is gracious. The more you learn to receive God's love, the more you can give love to someone else. So the first thing you need to do is find your one. Everybody say, find my one. You got to find your one. The second thing you do is you find yourself. Find yourself. Now there's a priority to this because you can't love others if you haven't learned to love yourself. Like you can't give away love to others if you haven't learned to love yourself. You can't give what you don't have. I mean, you can't expect someone else to love you if you don't love yourself. Like, why would you do that to somebody else? If you're like, I don't even like myself, but you want to like me? Like, that's not going to be a great dating line. Hey, you want to meet me? Because I don't like me. Like, that's not going to work. You got to learn to love yourself. You got to learn to like yourself before you can ever like someone else or have them likely like you. So don't begin a relationship hoping that they will heal your heart. And some people jump into relationships with something broken, hoping this relationship is going to fix it. Listen, nobody is designed to fix your problem except God. Listen, you can't come into a relationship broken and go, well, I hope this friendship, this relationship is going to fix all my needs. That's not the point of it. You find God, then you find yourself. You can't begin a relationship with an empty love tank. Like, don't come to somebody and go, man, I'm so needy. Well, I need you to love me because it's empty. My tank is it? No. Get your love tank filled by God and by yourself, and then you have something to give to somebody else. Look, you don't want to come into a relationship needy. Like, please love me. I'm a puppy dog. You will not have the ability to truly love someone until you've learned to truly love yourself. You can't give your love from this broken vessel. You must come to a place where you like yourself. You must see yourself as fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You need to be able to look in the mirror and go, I like me. I think I'm great. Like I would be, listen, you need to say to yourself, I would be a great catch. Come on. Like somebody needs to meet me because I am awesome. And so like love yourself. God made you. He made you the way you are, and He likes the way He made you. He thinks you're beautiful. He thinks you're awesome. He gave you strength. He gave you gifts and talents. You were created to be the very best version of you. Own it. Love it. Bring that to the relationship. Listen, you need to be secure in God's love for you. You need to be secure in God before you try to get into a relationship. You need to be secure. You need to know that God loves you. Because when you're secure in yourself, you won't have to feel desperate for someone to have to feel that security in you. Like, don't go into a relationship desperate. I mean, first, nobody wants to date a desperate person. But listen, when you fall in love with God and you find your one, and then you find your two, then you get to bring your love and your passion into the relationship instead of going, I need you to fill me up. Like, it's so much better to be able to give than have to need someone to fill your tank. You have a God that loves you, and he thinks you're amazing, and so you need to find yourself before you worry about finding your number three. Find your one, God. Find your two, yourself. And then find your three after that. Now, here's what's so amazing. I love this thought. Because when you find your one, I found God. He loves me. I love God. I'm passionate. You find your one. And then you find your two. I like me. I'm secure. I'm whole. I'm not broken. I have something to offer. Then finding your number three is just a welcome addition to an already fulfilled life. Like, I'm glad you came along in my life. But if it doesn't work out, I'm good. I'm good. You know, how much better is it? You're in a relationship, you start dating someone, and for some reason, you know, it falls apart. And you know, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I need to break up with you. And you're like, look, bro, I'm fine. Like, you're just a welcome addition to this mix. I already got my Savior. I know God, he loves me. I like myself. You were just an add-on. You were along for my ride. You thought I was on your ride. You were on my ride. Listen, you get to have confidence in yourself. You get to be secure in you. And so regardless of what's happened around you, you're fine. You're not trying to find your purpose and trying to find a mate. You found your purpose in God. Listen, somebody come along just to be just a fun part of it. Like, you're just coming to be with me as I pursue God rather than I'm pursuing you. I'm pursuing God. Hope you come for the journey with me. It takes the pressure off of you. Listen, I want to tell you this. If you're single, singleness is not a problem that must be solved. Singleness isn't a problem that must be solved. You're not incomplete. Like, you're not, like, less than. You're not needy. Like, you don't need somebody. You would like somebody, but you don't need somebody. You're not broken. You're not even missing out on something in life. You are great the way you are. You're not unloved. You're not without purpose. You know what? Be single and be proud. Like, I'm owning this thing. Instead of walking around going, well, I hope I find a mate today. I hope I find a date today. I hope I this. I hope that. No, you go, listen, I like me. God likes me. I like me. I'm walking around my shoulders back. I'm good. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that having a desire to find a spouse, to find a mate, is a bad thing, or I'm not even diminishing it. Listen, if you want to find a spouse, listen, I'm standing with you. I'm praying with you. I'm believing. I mean, I'm hoping that you run into somebody this afternoon and something sparks, and like next month, you know, you say, listen, I found somebody, and, you know, I hope it all works. I do. But I want you to know, what I really want you to hear for this moment, though, is that singleness is great, too. It's great. And the Bible actually teaches us that it's a gift from God. Singleness is a gift from God. Look at this in 1 Corinthians. Apostle Paul says this. He says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. Ladies, say amen. That needs to be on his mind. Like, I'm here to help you. I'm here to please you. Verse 34, though, kind of says why singleness has some advantages. His, being a husband, his interests are divided, no doubt. Now, in the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Amen, dudes. Come on. This amen. Go, clap, shout. That's right. Go ahead. Paul says, he's kind of summarizing it. He says, what I'm saying is for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. He said, I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. So Paul is saying that it's great to be married and it's great to be single. And in some ways, being single has an added advantage to serving the Lord because your interests are not divided at home. Too many people are wanting to always be on the other side of this fence. Single people look at married people and they make assumptions. Wow, I bet they sit at home and watch Hallmark together every night and hold hands. They got somebody to be with them all the time. It must be glorious to have that companion. And you know, they just, you know, we like turn it into something that is unimaginably not like wholly true. Because on the other hand, there are a lot of married people that want to go back to the other side of the fence because they're like, that's kind of hard, folks. Like, my attention's divided. I used to like it when I could play golf whenever I wanted to. I used to like it when I could buy whatever I wanted to buy. Now, like, she wants some of it. She wants more than some of it. And so what happens is people are stuck always wanting the other side of the fence. And Paul's like saying, hey, wherever you are, use it to your advantage. And if you're single, use it as a gift from God. This is like a unique and place that you can embrace in God and use your singleness that maybe a person with a family doesn't have the same opportunities. Maybe like go on mission trips. Like you have an, like maybe as a family, like maybe you can't afford it. Maybe you don't have the time. Build the church through serving in ministry. I think one of the greatest things is our church. We have a lot of single people that really help carry our ministry around here. Amazing. Why? Because there's less things dividing attention. Build deeper relationships. Go deeper in God's word and in spirit. You don't have to worry about making him dinner or like making money for her or whatever it may be. But like you can spend more time with God in the spirit. Use your freedom to be adventurous. Have fun. Live big. Post things on Instagram like, wow, look at me. I'm over here. I'm over there. Like, have a blast. It's a unique season. Amen? Listen, here's what would be great. It'd be great to find a person for you. I found my person. So, like, this is for you. But it'd be great to find a person that has found their one, and they're so passionate about God, and they found their two, and they are so whole and healthy inside, and then they have found a passion for God, and they're living all out for God. They're serving in church and going on mission trips, and so, like, they're so in it. Typically, when you find yourself operating like that, is about the time you notice somebody that's running alongside you and you start going, hey, we're doing the same thing a lot. Hey, we're doing this. You've got some of the same passion. You love God. Maybe we ought to talk. Because you're running in the same direction. But singleness is great. It's awesome. Live it, love it, enjoy it. But if your desire is to find a person to be in a dating relationship with, then you want to find your number three. I want to give you three words that will help you find your number three. Calling, character, chemistry. These are three things that will really help you find your number three. Calling, character, and chemistry. So what is calling? Well, you want to find a future spouse that feels like they are called to love and serve God. Now, when I say called, I mean, they have this sense of serving God as a calling in life. Like calling has apprehended them. Calling is like, God, this is my purpose in life. God, you are my passion in life. I don't mean like they have to be called into ministry. I just mean that there's such a sense of, God, I am here to serve you with my whole life, that whatever direction I go in my life, you are part of it. I'm called to you. A calling means that simply, God, I'm all out for you. I have a conviction to serve you. I have a passion to serve you, regardless of circumstances. I serve you. A calling apprehends us. A calling doesn't come and go with circumstances. A calling leads us on. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, 14, it says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, what does that mean? How are many called and few chosen? Well, God is calling all people to a high standard of living and loving Him. Like, that's a message He gives out to everyone. He wants everyone to pick Him. He's like, I'm calling out. Hey, you know, love me, serve me. It's a general call for everyone. He wants everyone to fall in love with Him. God's calling us to be fully devoted followers of Christ. That's a call. Like, it's here today. He's reaching down, speaking through His Word, speaking through the Spirit, and He's calling us to love Him. That's for everyone. The problem is that few are chosen because few do not accept that calling. Let me illustrate it. Let's just pretend for this moment that, you know, from heaven, and He opens up a portal here over our metal roof, and He speaks into the room, and He goes, "Hey, everybody at Life Community Church, I'm calling you to love me and serve me." Now, let's just say everybody heard it. Did you hear it? Everybody hear it? Now, just for illustration purposes, I want everybody on this side of the room to raise your hand and say, "Me." All right, so you all, keep in mind, you need to, like, you all said yes. And so then God says, "Oh, I pick all of y'all. I pick you, I pick you, I pick you, pick you." Well, because He called, you said yes, and He chose you. That's how it works. So He calls, you say yes, and He picks you. Like, it's like, you can put your hands in. Like, this is the best game that, you know, have you ever been like kids on the playground, you remember years ago, and you didn't get picked? Were you ever that kid that didn't get picked to run, like, whatever the game was, you know, kickball or you know, what was the game where you held your hands and somebody tried to run through and break your hands, you know? And, you know, you didn't get picked. Red Rope, you're like, pick me. Nobody picks you. Listen, this is the best pick me scenario you have. God's calling you. You say, pick me. He goes, I pick you. The problem is, few raise their hand. Therefore, few are chosen. You want to find someone that's with God going, pick me. Because you want someone that's called to serve God. You want someone that has this deep conviction and says, God, this is my calling in life to serve you and to live for you and to love you. You want your future husband to accept that kind of a life. That's the kind of person you want to be in a dating relationship with that might move into a marriage. Because if they love God faithfully, then it's an indication that they will love you faithfully. Your future spouse needs to be a believer with an amazing walk with God. And just as a tip, don't flirt to convert. Because some people are like, oh, they'll change. I know they're not in church now, but I'll take them to church. Listen, we don't need any missionary dating. Don't risk your walk with God on their lack of a walk with God. You know, the problem is that so many people can hide it for a little while. Like, I mean, listen, guys will go to church with a girl because they're like, oh, I can put up with an hour of church if she thinks I'm awesome. Amen. All right. Don't marry or date someone who isn't a believer. 2 Corinthians, it says this. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Don't team up with unbelievers. So that's true in business. If you're making, you know, like 50-50 contract with someone, if they're an unbeliever, they're going to have values that are different than yours. Don't date someone that's an unbeliever, and surely don't marry someone because they're going to be different values. Listen, someone that doesn't have a calling for God, they've never learned how to receive that kind of unconditional love, and so they don't know how to bring that into a relationship. That's going to be a mess at some point. Second thing you can do is find someone with character. So calling, character. So what is character? Well, all kinds of things you want to find in character. Like, are they honest? That'd be helpful. You want your future spouse to be honest. Do they tip well at a restaurant? Yeah, because what you're doing is you're learning about generosity. Next time you're on a date with a guy or a girl and they pay, just before the waitress walks off with it, say, hey, I need to see that. Listen, if they were stingy with a waitress that served them, they'll be stingy as a wife that serves them. Amen, Pastor. Whew, that was good. Man, whoo, you're preaching now. I'll amen myself. That was good. Listen, I don't need you to amen. I'm good. God loves me. I love me. But I like it when you amen every now and then. Listen, does this guy or girl, how do they treat their parents? Is it respectful or disrespectful? How do they act around their friends? Because if they're different with their friends than how they are with you, you need to know at some point you're going to become their friends and that's how they're going to act. Do they have a job? A J-O-B. Do they save money or spend money? Do they get angry? Do they get drunk? Do they like to visit Colorado a lot? You need to know these things. It's important. It's important. All of this can be summed up probably a little better than my list in Galatians, because it says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things you want to look for in a potential mate. This is your number three. You're finding a three. Man, if they've got these traits, that will really help you as you move forward. And when you're looking for character, church, listen, don't look at their future potential, but look at their past patterns. Their past patterns are going to probably tell you what their future potential is going to look like. I know that some people are like, well, I can change them. Well, you may not be able to. Their mama couldn't. Their coach couldn't. Their teacher couldn't. Oh, but you can. Listen, look at their past patterns to form a decision on what their future may look like. Don't get so drunk in love and believe that everything's going to get better and better. Their past patterns are probably going to be an indication of where they're going in the future. And yes, some people change. Oh, thank God. And we're here to help people change. Some people change. But why risk your entire life on the hopes that just maybe, maybe, maybe they change? Amen. Whew. Chemistry. Calling. Calling, character, chemistry. So we found our calling, found our character, found our chemistry. This is probably the easiest one, because most likely the reason you want to find out about calling and character is because there's already some sort of chemistry happening. You're attracted for some reason. You're like, woo, you know, I like that person, and woo, you know, something's drawing you. So probably there's some chemistry there. Some people have asked me, you know, like, hey, is romantic attraction important if the guy or the girl has like a phenomenal walk with God, they have great character? You know, like, is romantic attraction important? And my answer is yes, it's important. It really matters. It's like you really need something that like draws you together. true. But this is so fun. But listen, chemistry in a romantic relationship cannot cloud your judgment about the things that also are important, and that's calling and character. And so you've got to have all three of those things. Now, chemistry is more than romantic attraction. There are other things, like you might want to discover in this season, like about their politics. Like you might want to know who you're voting for. You just might want to know, because like a house divided is tough. Careers. Are you going to have one? That might help. You know, if you meet some guy and he goes, listen, my dream is to travel as a career person, and I want to be on the road, you know, 4 and 5 nights a week, and that's my dream career. And your dream is to have a husband that's home helping you raise the children, and you find that, like, you might need to know that. Chemistry, hobbies, dreams, parenting, how many kids you want. Like, you don't always get that, but awesome. Chemistry. So when it comes to dating, folks, find your one. Who is one? Find your two. Who is that? Find your three. Who is that? When you're looking for your three, you look for calling, character, chemistry. Amen? Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, that concludes my sermon today. But I'm not finished, because I have some dating tips, and I didn't know where to put it in my sermon. And so I'm just throwing it in the end here, but officially the sermon's over. And so, but you probably ought to pay attention, because this is still good stuff, all right? I just didn't have a good place to work it in. So a couple quick tips about dating. One is, there's a difference between a date and dating. A date is all about going out with someone, beginning a friendship in order to get to know them better. It's part of the discovery process of the three C's. So that's what a date is. We went out on a date. A date has not yet come to DTR. Define the relationship. So a date hasn't defined the relationship. We're just getting to know each other. And so, like, way before we've defined the relationship. So you could go on a date with someone 2 or 3 times, and you're kind of trying to find out. You're looking at the tip. You're finding out, you know, how this is going. You know, you're trying to see if there's a little chemistry there. You're just trying to feel it out a little bit. And so, listen, there's no harm, no foul at this point. And so here's what I'd like to tell you. I encourage you to go on dates. Like, quit waiting around for someone to come to you. Go to them and say, hey, let's go out. Now, I'd like to say to the other people, say yes. Like, it's no stigma against you because you went out with somebody. You're not saying I'm marrying them. You're just saying, hey, I'll go get coffee with you. Hey, I like a free dinner. Some people are all worried what everybody's going to think. Don't worry about what they think. You're building a friendship. We all need friendships. There may be somebody out there that you've written off because you're like, I don't feel it. They ask you out, go anyway. And then you might find out, wow, I kind of like you. You might find out you don't. And then you DTR, you define the relationship. Well, you go, hey, listen, let's just keep this friends. Cool. You know what they're going to say? Cool, because I didn't need you either. Because I'm good. I love God. I love myself. It's really easy that way when you're not so worried about breaking everybody's heart, because don't give your heart away on a date. All right. Dating should be reserved for those who are ready for marriage responsibilities. Now, I'm not saying in high school that you shouldn't have a date or go to the prom and some stuff like that. I'm just saying, until you're ready to marry, don't give your heart away, because most likely that's going to lead to temptations and eventual heartbreak. So why put yourself in a position as a dating relationship that's only going to bring pain and problems and temptations and most likely a heartache at the end? All right, number two. That was all number one advice. Number two, my last couple minutes here. Keep godly boundaries in dating. that's probably, you probably know that, but just to emphasize that boyfriends don't get husband privileges and girlfriends don't get wife privileges. Nothing good will come from spooning on the couch from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock at night. It's true. Listen, I know you're not watching TV at that point. You don't care what Jimmy Fallon has to say. Number three, there is not just one perfect person in the whole world that has been created just for you, that is waiting for you, and you have to search and search for them. God gives you way more choice than you realize. Some people are like, yeah, there's one person out there. I got to find the one. I got to find this most exact match person. Like, it's got to be ideal. Like, it's got to be that person. Your first date, you've got a list so long, nobody will qualify because you're trying to find the one. And you know, the problem is, if there's only one out there, like, what if they live in Guatemala? That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Except our mission trips would be fuller. I'm going to Guatemala. He may be there. She may be there. I think you need to go back to the three C's. You start with one, God, love myself, and then you find the three C's. And then you let things happen a little bit. You say, God, I want to see if this is you. And number four, last point, stay connected to a mentor, a parent, a pastor, or someone with maturity and wisdom to help you confirm and support you in your dating. Stay connected to somebody. Because when you're in it, when you're in a relationship, a dating relationship, sometimes our hearts speak louder than our minds, and sometimes we don't see the perspectives that someone trusted in our life can see. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And that's my heart for us as a church. And if you're single today, my heart is for you to succeed in this part of your life. If you're dating, I want you to succeed at this in your life. If you found your number three, I want you to succeed in that. And so today, I just want you to kind of rethink dating and think, God, I want to find you, find myself, and then I'm open to find my number three. Amen, church? Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for all the people here that are single and they're dating or maybe on their way to dating. And God, I want you to know that I affirm them right where they are. And I believe they're awesome right where they are. And they don't have a need inside of them to fix anything. They can just fall in love with you and fall in love with themselves and fall in love with a purpose. And then, Lord, I pray that as they're doing that, that you would bring people into their life that would match up with their calling and their destinies and purposes. And you would be the ultimate matchmaker. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And with every head bowed, there's people here today that have never found their one. They've never found God. They've never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to just give a quick opportunity for you to say yes. Because it's through Jesus that all our sins are forgiven. Without Jesus, we carry our own guilt and shame. And you can't be good enough to make God happy. None of us can. We've all failed at that over and over. But you can receive Jesus and become right for God through Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today, I want to just give you an opportunity to pray this prayer. Maybe for some of you, you've known the Lord, but you haven't walked with God. Use this prayer as your recommitment to Christ. Let's all pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He died for my sins. He rose from the grave. He is my Savior. I receive forgiveness of all my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, church.